This year marks the 150th anniversary of arguably the most famous speech ever given, a speech that was not given a lot of coverage. It was not given a lot of space in what were the newspapers of the time. That speech was the Gettysburg Address, 272 words in 10 sentences. I have in years past gone back to that document because I find it an astonishment. You can not only read that, but you can read a number of different responses to that famous, famous address. In Gettysburg Replies, the world responds to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It is edited by Carla Kanowski of the, she is the CEO of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation and a very nice person too. Carla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you.
No, it's my pleasure because we met at I guess Ed Burke was reading his response at some event. How did this book, you explain it well in the thing, but tell, how did this, what was the seed of this book?
Well, as you said, we were approaching the 150th anniversary of the writing and delivery of the Gettysburg Address. And we have one of the five original copies of the address written in Lincoln's own hand at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library. And, you know, we could have just put it out. I mean, it's an extraordinary document, and putting it out in and of itself would be incredible. But we really felt that it deserves something even more extraordinary than that. And so we decided to embark on this project where we would invite people to write responses, not necessarily to the words in the address, but to just write their own 272 words. So they could write about Lincoln, the Gettysburg Address, Gettysburg, or something which stirs their passion.
The responses. How many people did you must have, you and your colleagues, sat down and made a pretty lengthy list. What was the final asking number, the number of people you finally wound up asking?
Well, we actually opened it up to the entire world. We really didn't know, you know, when we wanted as many people to write as possible. In the end, we had more than 1,000 responses. We had to narrow it down to
indeed, of course you did. Yeah, of course you did, because otherwise the book would cost $800.
What, exactly.
What was the selection process then? Of course, in any book like this, one wants to have notable names, both
yes.
Presidents Bush. Their pieces aren't bad. I must tell you, I didn't mind them as much as I minded the people who wrote them. But you do want sort of names. But there are others in here. Ed Burke wrote what I think was a very nice piece.
Yes, and it was very interesting because as the project went on, you know, our first. We received our first handful, and then President Carter's came in, and we thought, oh, my, you know, we might have something here. And then as word got out about the project, we actually would hear from different people saying, oh, you know, this person would like to write. We said, oh, that would be wonderful. And when we received Chairman Burke's essay, we also received one from Alderman Will Burns. We were just thrilled. I mean, absolutely thrilled that they wrote.
Was there anybody, I know you put out a general call, but was there anybody you went after who was not interested in participating?
Actually, there wasn't anyone that wasn't interested. There were a few who were in the midst of their own books.
Sure,
and they were
sure.
On publishing deadlines, so they couldn't. And I never really understood until I was involved in this project and thought, oh, my God, how do they do anything? I mean, how do they even get up in the morning and brush their teeth when they're on deadline? I mean,
you think of specifically a guy like Ken Burns, who must be as busy as anybody on this planet, the famous documentary maker. His is lovely, too. Did you find Carla, who has edited this book, Carla Nowrowski, who's head of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation, did you get any calls from people saying, hey, you're nuts, I didn't realize it was 272 words, this is impossible?
We didn't get any calls, but I do recall, and I honest to God do not remember who it was, but a Lincoln scholar wrote back and said, you know, you shouldn't even be asking people to do this. This is a travesty. You know, how could you be asking people? There's no way to top the Gettysburg Address. And
well, that wasn't your point. You're not trying to top the Gettysburg Address. That
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they missed the point of the project because we felt that if people sat down and tried to write their own 272 words, that they would not only better understand how incredible this Lincoln speech was, but how difficult it is to really convey a message. And of course, Lincoln didn't set out to write 272 words.
No. He had that advantage that the other writers in the book
exactly.
didn't have, right?
Exactly. But once you try to write 272 words and be eloquent and to write something that can move the masses, you really start to understand what a feat and how magnificent this speech is, not just for America, but across the world. And well, we did have responses from all over the world.
I do think I once participated, I think maybe a year or two ago, in a discussion at the Union League Club that also featured Chairman Burke, a long, lengthy discussion of the meaning of the Gettysburg Address. And it was, I never, you know, of course, Carla, I never, when I first read it, I don't go about the business of counting the numbers of words in things that I read. But when you realize that 272, it's an astonishing work of literature.
It truly is, you know, and just last week we were at the presidential library and we were receiving a delegation from Korea, and the majority of them were speaking in Korean. And when the translator, when the lead person started talking, when the translator translated what he said, he was quoting the Gettysburg Address. And, you know, you think of how far-reaching this address is and what it means to so many people around the world, we were just thrilled that we could give them this opportunity to perhaps either express what they feel about the address or to pay tribute in a different way, maybe by writing about something entirely different.
Yeah. Carla Nowrowski, the CEO of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation and the editor of this remarkable book, Gettysburg Replies, The World Responds to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Did any pieces come in that just seemed like utterly, and you don't have to name the authors, utterly frivolous, idiotic?
No, but I would use the word, in many cases, they were redundant because there were a lot of people who kind of wrote the same thing because they were writing about the address and they didn't take a new slant. And so they may have been very well written, but in some
they didn't
cases,
say anything.
Yeah, they didn't add anything new to the story or a new perspective.
Well, one of my favorites, and I'm going to go through, we're going to take a break in a second. I hope you can stay on for about 10, 15 more minutes to talk specifically
sure.
about some of these things. One of the great surprises to me before we take a commercial break, and please respond, Carla, is Annie Leibovitz. I was charmed by what she sent you. What did she send you?
Well, she sent us a photo essay.
Yeah.
We went to her and we said, you know, would you write 272 words? And she said, well, I really don't write. I mean, I'm a photographer.
Right.
And she said, how about if I send you a photograph? And so she sent a beautiful photograph of the model of the Lincoln Memorial. So this was Daniel Chester French, who designed it, the sculptor who designed it. She was at his studio at some point in her career, more recently
than that. Glendale, Massachusetts, yeah.
Yes, and so she took a photograph of the model for the larger memorial, and that's what she submitted to the book. So we were just thrilled.
Oh,
you know,
I, As was I. That's one of it's one of the great surprises in this book, the photo essay by the great legendary photographer Annie Leibovitz. Carl Inrosky, hang on for a couple minutes. We'll get some commercials and we'll continue talking about. I also want to talk about the poem written by Billy Collins, the former poet laureate of the United States of America. The book is called, again, Gettysburg Replies, The World Responds to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. I think every classroom in the state should have this book and then use it in some kind of English class. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Carl Inrosky is the editor of one of my new favorite books, Gettysburg Replies. This stays on my shelf forever, Carla. It is a well, because it, on one level, it's a reminder of one of the most powerful speeches ever given, especially given the time and the place it was given by Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg. But it also gathers, it's very thought-provoking, too, when you read the various 272-word essays by everybody from Pat Quinn to Annie Leibovitz to Steven Spielberg, and some I love, and it's beautifully laid out, this book, too. Many of these people were really, really lazy and typed it on typewriters or computers, but in most cases you see that vanishing breed of writing called longhand. That's one of the, I think, artistic joys of this thing. Do you think so, too, Carly? You must.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, it's hard to be disappointed when you're getting these wonderful essays, but there was just a slight disappointment when people didn't handwrite it out, because we wanted people to take a further steps in Lincoln's life by doing what he did, which was write it out by hand.
Yeah.
And so it was very beautiful when we would receive it. And when we put some of these essays on display at the museum, that was one of the things that, I mean, people lined up not just to read them, but to also see what paper or stationery that the essayist chose, or what did their writing look like?
Exactly.
Did they use a pen? Did they use a marker? How did they write it out?
So, did they have a letterhead?
Exactly.
It tells you, you know, you're much younger than I, but it tells you how the art of handwriting is a vanishing art, where it will attract people in a museum. Billy Collins' poem is fantastic, I think. I'm sure you do, too.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. And we were just thrilled when he submitted, because we thought as we were going on, we said, you know, we need to have some poets here. And interestingly enough, Nikki Giovanni did not write a poem. She wrote an essay.
Right.
But then we have General John Borling, who spent 7 years at the Hanoi Hilton.
Right.
He wrote a poem, and it was a 272-word rhyming metered poem. And I thought, my goodness, if it's hard enough to write 272 words of prose, I mean, to write a rhyming metered poem.
I love the fact there's so much in this book. How many, I didn't even count, how many contributors are in the book? 100, did you say?
100 plus Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Well, it's nice that the President of the United States took pen to paper, isn't it? That must have been something of a sensation.
Oh,
he has
absolutely.
He has the smallest handwriting. he has terrible handwriting. But that's one of the joys of this book, too. And I especially also loved, and I'm sorry if I'm raving too much, I'm just trying to get people to buy the book. Pete Seeger, the late Pete Seeger, it basically leaves me speechless.
Well, you know, the day that came in, he actually sent two letters, one to me and then one to our library. And this was short, and I was just blown away by it. And this was shortly before he passed, and it could possibly be his last public contribution. But he wrote that, you know, he was too old to write out a new essay. But what he did submit was the Gettysburg Address written out in his hand, how he would teach people to recite it. And it was just a thrill to receive.
It's stunning. It is stunning to see. It is also stunning to see, and you also have in here a letter that he wrote. Dear friends at the ALPLF, I just, that one just is heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time, Carla. You got good old Newt Minow in here and his daughter Nell, maybe the only father-daughter team in here. Another interesting one is Eboo Patel, a name who is that is not terribly well known, but he's been a longtime friend of mine. That's a very important essay in here, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. It's just so eloquent, and you know, we also not only do we want to have representative people, but we wanted to have representative topics, and so he talks about you know, the sailing, you know, wherever people's ships sailed from. I love that image.
Yeah.
You know, that there is a place for you here in America, and it's just a magnificent essay. Yes. There are so many.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great kid, and I don't want to let you go without acknowledging your fine handwriting and your fine essay on pages 94 and 95 of this. As the person who gave birth to this idea, I have to imagine in some ways, Carla Nowrowski, that it was harder for you to do this than almost anybody.
Well, it was because, you know, I think, at least for me, I put that there was a certain expectation, you know, to be able to do this. And I wanted to come through because I'd asked so many other people to do this. And then I felt that there it was almost a forced eloquence that I had to come up with. You know, and I thought, okay, no pressure here. You know, why'd you come up with this idea?
Yeah, what's wrong with me?
But in the end, I was able to express something that I had also, having had read so many of the essays, I had to come up with something that was, I thought, unique.
Of course.
I certainly discussed about the brilliance of his writing and how every word that Lincoln wrote, you know, he didn't have a speechwriter. He's not like today's you know, leaders who have 20 speechwriters.
Right.
Who may even be expert in certain areas. You know, you do foreign policy, you
sure.
do domestic,
yeah.
you do budget. He wrote his own speeches, and I really wanted to get the fact across that he was a brilliant communicator who measured every word. There was nothing extraneous about what
no.
he spoke about.
He's a spectacular, spectacular writer, and you, Carla Nowrowski, have put together a spectacular book. It is called Gettysburg Replies. The World Responds to Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It is informative, it's provocative, and it's stimulating, and a book can ask for no more. I'm not even going to ask you what your next idea may be, Carla, because you're some kind of genius, too, as far as I'm concerned. Congratulations. I'm so glad I met you, and so glad you sent me the book. It's really something I will treasure.
Well, thank you. We so appreciate this opportunity to spend with you and your audience. And as a longtime listener to WGN, it's just an honor to be on your show tonight.
I wouldn't go quite that far, Carla, but it's very nice to hear that. fantastic job. Fantastic job. I think it would be a lovely gift for anyone who cares about Lincoln and life itself.